This is Almost 107, a Fanshawe College journalism student podcast. Get real.
What the? I'm coming to the cottage.
Following the secret love story between two players in the fictional Major League Hockey, the wildly successful Crave show Heated Rivalry is bringing more people to rinks and arenas in Canada and the U.S. But outside merchandising and ticket sales...
Have you watched it? Are you Tim
Yes.
Hollander or Rosenhoff?
No. I've watched all six episodes. I binged it in one night. I thought the storyline was very compelling.
In what ways is the sport changing to welcome new hockey fans? Is the locker room a safe space for queer hockey players? My name is Laura Carlett, and on this episode of Almost 107, we're exploring hockey culture, inclusivity, and the queer dollar.
So I just hope that the league that is now like using the show and on like in like for tweets and Instagram posts and selling tickets that actually like follows through and supports.
Yeah.
You know,
what's going on with
the players and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today I'm here with a master's student from the Department of Gender and Sexuality and Women's Studies here at Western University. Hi, Ella.
Hello.
Could you tell me what you study, who you are?
Yeah, so my name is Ella Brown. I'm a master's student in the Department of Gender, Sexuality, and Women's Studies at Western University. Our department is essentially looking at the world through a gendered or feminist lens. We sometimes focus more on sociology, sometimes more on arts and humanities. It's pretty broad and interdisciplinary. But we can take it a step further by looking at race, class, sexuality, ability, any sort of power relations. That's what we're interested in.
Yeah, and you said that your research was on...
So my research is specifically kind of involving museums and art galleries, and I'm kind of looking at how we create meaning and how meaning is interpreted by different people.
I love that. So I'm guessing with all the overlap of your research and pop culture right now, I'm guessing you've been to the cottage.
Oh, I've been to the cottage.
Let's start personal, seeing all those tweets, and those reactions, how did that feel as a queer woman?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I kind of noticed is that with the success of Heated Rivalry, it made it very clear the power of the gay dollar and also of the pink dollar, because Heated Rivalry does have a huge fan base of women and of straight women too. And it's when the NHL kind of, you know, notices this market exists, this demographic that they haven't tapped into that they could, that's, to me, it feels a little bit of a performative kind of playing into ideas of queerness and kind of showing that they might be in the know, but not really doing anything to make those spaces safe for really the fans of Heated Rivalry, who are predominantly women or queer people.
Yeah, and absolutely, that's one thing. And then now it's making like random hockey players coming out or making headlines. And it's like, are we like back in that era where queerness or anything relating to being queer is some sort of shock value? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that era never really, I don't know if that ever left the hockey realm. Mm-hmm. I think it's still to this day a very like cisgendered, heterosexual kind of culture, right? So I don't think there's been enough movement there specifically. But I do think we're seeing maybe a bit of a turnaround just with the times.
Yeah, and absolutely, and like, you know, the excuse that they'll always give is that, oh, it's just because it's a boys' club.
Yeah.
It's a male space. But, like, with the addition of the Professional Women's Hockey mm-hmm. League having a literal wife line where two line mates are married to each other, and still having players who are trans-exclusive or openly homophobic, what kind of message does that imply for the queer community?
Yeah, I mean, some people might kind of understand it as maybe a little disingenuous to what the hockey culture really is. Some people might find that, I mean, the show does do a decent job of representing kind of the culture of hockey and it being very straight and very kind of like boys club bro culture, right? So I think it did a good job of kind of highlighting the status quo. In terms of kind of how the NHL has been dealing with it, I think it is being read as a bit of a performative engagement with the show. And for a lot of queer or female fans, it might almost be tempting to kind of enter those spaces because, you know, you watch the show and it's like, this is so great, this is so fun, I want to be in those spaces. But those spaces aren't exactly like heated rivalry. And trying to work to make those spaces safer is what needs to happen, and that hasn't been happening.
Yeah, so I know it's a big systemic issue and probably can't be fixed by a 15-minute podcast from some kid in a random college in London, Ontario.
With some kid in a random university in London, Ontario.
Mm-hmm. But, like, what steps do you think, like, should be at least taken or considered? Even, let's say it's not necessarily the NHL. Maybe we could start in London in our OHL teams, in our junior B teams. But, like, what do you think are the steps that could, like, be started with?
Yeah. I mean, first, when it comes to the NHL, I think there's a couple of really easy things, like allowing pride tape, allowing pride jerseys, allowing people to be visibly queer on the ice is important. And also signaling that, because it's one thing to allow that, but to also say that that isn't allowed sends a message of queerness has no place in hockey. And that needs to change. In terms of, like, maybe on a smaller scale, like in London, I can't say I'm particularly familiar with the hockey scene, but it's going to be a lot of, there just needs to be push from within that culture to change it. Some of my big concerns with how hockey is kind of now being thought of in mainstream, it kind of maybe takes, it maybe isn't always recognizing all the harms. Mind you, with the popularity of heated rivalry, it has been brought up. People have given maybe some attention to the fact that the NHL is by no means accepting of queer people. And so people have been noticing the performativity of it.
If you had a message for maybe there's like a junior team, a junior hockey team starting out, they want to start on the right foot, they want to raise these kids in the sport well, like before they get into different teams, and what would be like the message would be there?
I mean, I think for, you know, coaches of young players, it's up to them to really make sure that the language being used and the way young players are talking about women and gay people in particular, to make sure that that language doesn't exist. And that it's really about stopping that whole, like, locker room talk. Because I think that is integral to how they treat different groups. Because there's this there's a allowance that has been given when they talk about this stuff in the dressing room that allows it to kind of move
to normalize that kind of thinking.
Exactly. And so it really does, I think it really does start with, you know, coaches and parents making sure that that locker room talk isn't present.
I have loved this. Thank you so much, Ella. To talk about giving queer hockey players a spot on the bench, here's Alex Callback and Janelle Lewis from Queer Hockey Hamilton. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you. So how did Queer Hockey Hamilton come to be? Like, how did this start?
So the idea was born out of actually just attending other queer athletic events. Me and Alex actually met. We played in the same tournament years ago, and it was the Canada Cup, which is like a big gay hockey tournament. And then we started thinking that, you know, a lot of the bigger cities tend to have these organizations, like Toronto has the Toronto Gay Hockey Association. we felt that we needed that space within Hamilton. Hamilton feels like a very queer city. Is that it has a very high queer representation. So I think just having a place for us to come and play together without any fear of discrimination or, you know, removing those gender barriers that typically are within hockey. And yeah, Alex, basically we were just, let's just go for it. Let's give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah, I just went out on a big risk on that, and I think it's really kind of played off. But yeah, like we were talking, we're always traveling to go to these bigger cities that have queer hockey tournaments and queer hockey organizations. And I'm like, let's just do our own thing. And the challenging part was just going to go off on our own because queer players didn't want to play in straight spaces where they didn't feel welcomed, like a public event or a regular hockey league. And once we kind of said that, hey, this is our space, I feel like the demand was like there almost right away. Mm-hmm. And that was only in the fall of 2023.
Yeah, so it's definitely still in its infancy. Could you go back to that part where you said that queer players didn't want to play in the other leagues? What did that look like as a...
Myself, I had joined a couple of men's leagues, and I think I had pride tape on my stick at one point, and people would make comments, or like there's a lot of kind of like negativity thrown around the locker room or players where you don't really feel like welcomed in like a space where you even want to try to play, I guess, or you know that nobody else feels the same way you do. And it's just hard for people also who identify outside the gender binary as well. When it comes to locker rooms and where are they going to change, or when you grow up and like you're playing, you're a girl playing on a boys team and you got to get separated. So we kind of broke down all of those barriers when creating our league, and it's been nothing but success for us.
Yeah. Being more visible out there. Is it like a whole different environment or?
Yeah, it's funny, and it's funny when you even speak about visibility, whether it's you're in a straight league or a queer league, because I often just kind of blend in with a lot of cisgendered males, but I'm also trans. So being the only trans person in a men's league or a men's team kind of feels weird because you think that somebody's going to like know or find out right away, and you want to kind of keep yourself safe. So when we had this space and I was meeting other trans players and they felt like they were in a place that they could take their shirt off comfortably without being judged, and also just having every other person realize that there are other queer and trans players out there to make them feel less alone, was a game changer for me. And I feel like with that, we've had a lot of people kind of explore different identities and sexualities since being in our league. They're kind of like, you know what? I think I have felt this way a long time, and I think I kind of feel like I'm in a safe space to come out, whether they change their name or they go by a nickname or pronouns or people even exploring surgery. Like we've had people come up to us and just thank us for having this space available where they maybe wouldn't have come to those conclusions.
If anything, now that, again, the NHL is really banking on the popularity of an inherently queer coded show, what can like the biggest pro league in North America do to make hockey more inviting to queer people?
They have a game and they call it their Pride Night game. Why? Because during warm up, the players wear a rainbow on their shirt. That's it. What is the function for you? Are you hosting this night to promote inclusivity, or are you hosting this night for the rainbow tax, right?
The gay dollar.
The gay dollar is, you know, for example, we're friends with the Ottawa Queer League as well. And they have a good relationship with the Ottawa Senators. And recently they were going to, the Senators had made jerseys that were they were selling in the shop for that had Hollander and I forget Ilya's last name now, yes. But and they you know, stated publicly that they were donating all of the proceeds to that organization, but the organization had no idea. So, like, you know, I think that there's, is it just it like, it almost feels like it's like Pride Month, you know?
It's just rainbow capitalism.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that they're actually doing enough to change the culture that is hockey.
I think they could learn a lot from the PWHL, really. And the PWHL is a lot newer, but right from the beginning, they've been super inclusive. And we have like a small relationship with the Scepters, who came to our arena, some of their media team, and got videos and interviews of us and played it at one of their games. And whether like the NHL does something like that, because we're not the only queer league. I do think the Leafs do something with Toronto, but there's also like big NHL teams and other queer leagues in the States as well, which they could also kind of partner up with, just like how Ottawa does with the Senators, and like kind of show that their support. The NHL is huge and they have a lot of money. They could also like donate money to other local queer leagues, or like, you know, supply their jerseys or just do something to kind of showcase them, especially when you have tens and thousands of fans at the arena and you never know who's going to find them. We had our video played at the Pride Night, at the Scepters Pride Night last year, and players found us and then came to play with us. And that was only an arena maybe 8,000 people. So just imagine what double, triple that could do. If you're finding two people out of 8,000, you can find maybe four or six if you're going to show 20,000 people. So they could really do a little bit more, kind of piggybacking off of what they do as well. But also they could just start with the language and like use more inclusive language when it comes to people. And like, you know, you still go to an NHL game and they do a kiss cam thing and they're going to try to look for couples on that. Just small things, really, that kind of break down typical gender norms that we grew up with.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hockey as a sport has a long way to go with queer acceptance and visibility on the ice.
When I was a teenager, I realized that I may be that thing that hockey players like to throw around as an insult.
But with players in the show being vocal about welcoming the queer community.
You know, I've heard so much, you know, support from people within those communities that it means a lot to them. So, you know, it's the least that we can do to show our support and show that, you know, we're all on the same team.
We might just see players feeling safe enough to come out and live authentically like Scott Hunter. And when the next hockey phenom finds himself relating to Shane Hollander, I hope the league is ready to accept them fully. Until then, my name is Laura Carlett, and this has been Almost 107. Find more episodes online anytime at 1069vx.com or wherever you get your podcasts.